So Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 12 to verse 16. So Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Okay, so children, I have a few things to show you in my bag of goodies. And as I get them out, what I want you to think is, what do all these things have in common? Okay, so the first thing, a sheet of paper. Not particularly special, very ordinary sheet of paper. The second thing, a penknife. Thirdly, we have some holly, some very dead holly. Fourthly, where is it? Oh yeah, fourthly we have a scalpel. I don't know if you can see this, scalpel. And lastly, is it here? Oh yeah, lastly we have a circular saw. Now what do all these things have in common? The paper is the tricky one. They're all sharp in different ways, aren't they? You can get a paper cut from a sheet of paper if you're not careful. Holly is very prickly. The knife, the scalpel, they're all sharp in different ways, aren't they? Now, what's really surprising is that in our passage today from Hebrews, God says that the Bible, this, is sharper than anything else. It is sharper than any sword, sharper than a penknife, sharper even than a circular saw. Now, how can that be true? That seems crazy, doesn't it? How can that be true, that God's word, the Bible, is sharper than a sword? Well, let's look at Hebrews again. So if you look down at the verses that we read, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So God says in Hebrews that his word is sharper than holly, sharper than any sword. How can that be true? Well, I suppose a circular saw, one of these, is very good if you're a tree surgeon and what you spend your time doing is chopping trees. That's very good at that, isn't it? And a penknife is good at cutting paper and little things. And, you know, a scalpel is good if you're a surgeon. But none of those things can cut into my thoughts, can they? A piece of holly can't tell you what I'm thinking, can it? If I poke my lovely wife, Victoria, with holly, that's not going to tell me what she's thinking. I mean, she might tell me what she's thinking, but the holly's not going to tell me, is it? And yet, that is what Hebrews says the word of God does. That's exactly what it does. As we read it, Hebrews says the word of God shows what's in our hearts. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because that is the opposite of what we think. We think when we read the Bible, we are understanding the Bible and we are judging the Bible. So children, your parents might sit around a table at home group and say things like, what do you make of this passage? Or, do you agree with this? When actually, Hebrews says, when we read the Bible, it's not us judging it, but it is judging us. Now that is surprising, isn't it? And actually, it's doing it right now. It's doing it today. The word of God is living and active, verse 12. It's living today, working on our hearts today. Now, that's interesting because lots of people, and lots of us, I presume, at one time or now, thought that the Bible is just one of those really old books, isn't it? One of those books that in films, they find it in some cave and they open it and it's really old and they open it and they blow it. And all this dust comes out because it's so old. And we think, sure, the Bible may have been useful. It may have been important maybe 3,000 years ago, but it's not important today. That's what lots of people think. And yet, Hebrews says the Bible is living. It's active. It's alive today. It's working in our hearts today. Isn't that surprising? Now, the author to the Hebrews, he says that the Word of God is judging our hearts. It's judging the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. What does that actually mean? Well, I want you to imagine that one day you go shopping with your mummy or your daddy to Sainsbury's, and you're in the fruit and veg aisle, and your mummy is trying to decide if the Taste the Difference clementines are really worth the extra 50p, and you're standing there, and all of a sudden you realise you are naked. Got up in the morning, you've taken off your pyjamas, you've had a shower, you've got to Sainsbury's, and you forgot to get dressed. You're only wearing your socks, and they only emphasise how naked you are. That is uncomfortable, isn't it? If that happened, you would have mixed feelings about that situation. Well, Hebrews says, when we read the Bible, it's a little bit like that. It's just a little bit like that. Look down at those verses again. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So you see, earlier when I said the Word of God, the Bible, judges us, that's true, but maybe it would be fairer to say God uses his Word to judge us, to look into our hearts, to reveal what's inside. God uses his Word to show us what's wrong with our hearts, to show us the types of people that we don't like, types of people that we avoid, and the types of things that we want that we shouldn't want. So God is using the Bible to show those things to us as well as himself. When we read God's word, it sees through all that we pretend to be. It's like a sharp sword that God uses to open us up, to open up our thoughts so he can see what we really think and feel. Now, you might hear that and think, that sounds horrible. Why would anyone want that? Why would I want God poking around in my heart, revealing all my sin to me? That would be horrible. Well, it's not horrible. It's very important. And just a little story to explain why. I have a son. His name is Arthur. He's 4 months old. He's at home because he's been crying all day, so we thought it was probably best to have Victoria to look after him at home. And when he was born, that was one of the best days of my life. But it was also one of the worst days of my life. Now, it was one of the best days of my life because watching Victoria give birth was amazing. It was like watching a miracle happen. It was incredible. But it was one of the worst days of my life because a few hours after he was born, the doctors realized that there was something wrong with him. And they didn't know exactly what was wrong with him. They thought that it was his stomach or maybe his intestine underneath his stomach, but they didn't know what was wrong. And they said, he's only got a few hours left before we do something. And so they did lots of tests. They did all the tests you could have. He had them. He had ultrasounds and x-rays and all these tests, they poked him and prodded him, but the tests didn't show us what we needed to know. And so a few hours later, a doctor came and he sat down and he said to me and Victoria, we don't know what's wrong with Arthur. We've done all the tests we can and we still don't know what's wrong. So what we need to do is we need to take him and do an operation on him. We need to take him to surgery and do an operation so that we can see what's wrong and fix it. And we need to do that now. And that's what they did. They took him, he had an operation, they looked inside and to see what was wrong, and they fixed it. And 4 months later, he's doing really, really well. Well, this is God's scalpel. This is how he sees inside us, shows us what's wrong, and how he changes us so that we're ready to meet him. This is his scalpel. So if we don't read this, if we're not interested in this and never read it, it's like saying to the doctor, "No, I don't want the operation. Don't do the operation." It would be crazy to say that. It would be crazy. You see, God wants us to live with him in his eternal rest. That's what these chapters in Hebrews are about. They're about God's eternal rest and how he wants us to live with him. Holidays forever. A weekend that goes on forever and ever. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's what God wants. He wants to take us there. But there's only one way to get there, and that's by listening to what God says in the gospel and obeying through faith in Jesus. And you can't listen if this is closed, can you? How can you have faith in someone you won't listen to? Hebrews says, "Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." We need to hold firmly to the faith we profess. And to hold firmly to it, we need to hear it. God wants to show us where we're forgetting Jesus. He wants to show us where we're being distracted by other things, so that we can focus on Jesus and hold firmly to him. Now, it's true that reading the Bible sometimes can be very hard. It's hard because it was written a long time ago. And it's hard because it exposes our sin. That's hard. But if we didn't know where our sin was, we wouldn't know that we needed Jesus. Okay, so having heard all this today, do you think this should change how we read this? Well, of course it should. We need to be careful when we read this. We need to be very careful. Because when we sit down and we read this, it's like we're approaching a sword. It's like we're handling a sword. Children, when your parents order something off Amazon, if it's got a battery in it or something, often Amazon will put a sticker on the package that says, "Caution, handle with care." And that means don't mess around with it because it's got a battery in it, so it's a bit fragile, so you need to be careful with it. Well, if you find one of those stickers, you should stick it to your Bible. That would be a good thing to do. Because when we handle this, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we're handling it well. That would be a right thing to do. So, when we read it, we need to be careful. When we hear someone speaking about it, we need to be careful, which is why we do the questions and answers and why that's so important, because it's a check to make sure what's being preached is what's being said here. God judges our hearts through this book. Now, I feel preaching on this passage about how we should be careful with God's word, I can't not talk about the context of these verses, because actually it's really important to understand the context of what's being said so we can understand individual verses. Because the author to the Hebrews, he actually gives us readers an example from the past of where God's people didn't listen to him, where they had an opportunity, they had a chance to listen to God, to believe his promises, and they didn't. And that example is from when Israel left Egypt. I don't know if you remember that story with the plagues. You remember that Israel, God's people, they were rescued from slavery in Egypt. And God said to them, "I want you to have this special land." And Israel got to the very edge of the land. They got to the very edge of the land that God had promised to give them. And then what happened? Well, they sent in some spies to look at the land. The spies came back and the spies said, "It's a bit scary. I don't think we can take the land. It's too scary. I know God promised it to us, but I don't think we can do it." And so God was angry with them. And Hebrews, in this chapter, over and over again, he quotes a psalm talking about that event. He quotes Psalm 95, talking about what happened in the desert in a place called Massah and Meribah. And Psalm 95 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts like they did in the desert." Don't harden your hearts like they did on the edge of the promised land. Why? Because for 40 years, God loathed that generation. That's what Psalm 95 says. God said, "They are a people who go astray in their hearts. They do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore they shall not enter my rest." That is very serious, isn't it? It's very serious to ignore what God says and to ignore his promises. And that's in the author to the Hebrews' mind as he writes this. "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like they did in the desert." On that day in the desert, they had an opportunity to enter God's rest, and they didn't get there because they hardened their hearts and they didn't listen to this word. They didn't believe God's promises. Now, if you're like me and you hear that, that is hard to hear, isn't it? I feel desperately needy when I hear that. I am in desperate need of a saviour, in desperate need of grace. And that is why it is such good news that we have verses 14 to 16. Let's read those together. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So, church family, will you let God do his work through his word in your life? Because his word is calling you to draw near to the throne of grace. How will you respond? Don't do what they did in the desert. Don't harden your hearts and turn away from his word. But let God's sword do his work and believe the gospel that we've been given so that we can enter his rest forever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your Son Jesus, who paid for our sins and made a way that we can enter into your rest. And Lord, I pray for all of us. Lord, help us to accept that. Help us not to be hard-hearted like they were in the desert, but help us to listen carefully to your word. Thank you for your Son Jesus, and thank you for the rest that is coming. Amen.
Thank you, Matt.
So just a couple of questions. Actually, my question first of all, Matt, you were preaching at the prison this morning. How did you get all that locked in?
Yeah, they didn't let me take the circular saw in.
Right. So here's a question. Somebody says, does the word of God automatically mean the Bible? It, somebody says it didn't in Moses' time.
Mm. Yeah, that's very helpful. So obviously Moses didn't have the same Bible that we have today. And so the word of God, I suppose, means slightly different things in different places. Sometimes it means Jesus. In John, the word of God becomes flesh and is Jesus. But in this instance, I think he's very clearly talking about the scriptures because he keeps quoting them over and over again. The chapters are just dripping with references to the Old Testament. And so I think it's safe to say that in this instance, he's saying the word of God is the scriptures.
Great, thank you. And then somebody says, what have you been most struck by as you prepared this talk this week?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's quite a complex passage. There's a lot going on in there, but I think the repetition of Psalm 95 and the warning that carries has been really present in my mind. The warning of not hardening our hearts, that's repeated over and over and over and over again. But then the grace that comes through the following chapter has been a really safe haven for me in amongst the warnings.
Thank you so much, Matt.